Hello, my friend. It's wonderful to gather with you again, and I'm thinking of others who have reached me recently who are listening in with us. I always think about it as a circle of friends with different activities or places of quiet, places of simple listening that gather up. So here we are, and we can think about it maybe as a bit of a bonfire or on the edge of a lake today, possibly. Maybe we've been working and we step aside, so have that felt sense of it. And now gathering maybe with our nets on the side of the lake, maybe there after hard work, because one way or another you've been about hard work. That's what our world is so often expecting of us, and we ourselves as well. And it can become, unfortunately, even the best of work, fairly superficial, and it's hard to put down the nets and sit and relax and listen to either where we fish next or to what we might do next. But I'm getting ahead of our story and my story. It's Mark 1:14-20, and Jesus has just heard of the very sad death, but the understandable reality around John the Baptist, who was threatening and was beheaded. And then he moves to a seaside place, and there's Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen, and Jesus invited them to follow him. "Come," he said, "come after me, and I will make you fishers of men and women." And we remember the phrase, they abandoned their nets and followed him. Now, the movement is quite striking here, and I think that's why I'm tripping over my words. We can get up and trip over our feet when we're doing this, if we do it too quickly. And it's interesting, scholars tell us that these men had households and homes and people working with them, and they were probably married, a number of them. We know Peter was. We don't hear about his children. I'm not sure we hear about his wife. We hear about his mother-in-law. We know that there's a family, at least I bet for some of them. But we know for Peter that he's leaving. He's not just getting up and going. He's departing. And life always has that aspect about us. Now, last week, the last time, maybe just a moment ago, you listened to a reflection I offered on listening. And the words that work for me that are so deeply beautiful with one another are listening, trusting, and following. I'm in a motel room now in Florida with some students in On a Road Ministry, and the refrigerator just turned on and there's a hum in the background. So we have a lot we listen to. I closed the windows and turned off the air conditioner, and I'm sitting in the humidity of the moment just to share this time with you. And I'm thinking about how deep it is that we need to go, how open our hearts have to be as we listen to then trust. The second of the three words that seem important to me that God sort of, as we would say, put on my heart a while ago, to listen, and now to trust. The Buddha said, look deeply at life as it is in this very moment. The meditator dwells in stability and freedom. So looking deeply at life as it is in this moment, we are able to dwell in stability and freedom. And I think this is the movement as we take time in listening, to be in this moment deeply and feeling and finding and experiencing a stability here that is, I would say, not nameable. I would say it is the deep presence of God. It's the echo again of St. Francis saying, create within yourself a place where God might dwell. The mysterious presence, you may not use the word God easily. You may have another word that helps us understand the depth or feeling with the one who stands under us. For me, Christ, the light of Christ. Listening now to that light, we even listen to light, draws me into a sense of dwelling. And in this dwelling place that could feel like stoppage, we begin again. It's so wonderful, but the meaning of trust is that we find someone or something that we have stability with. We place our ability to rely on them in them. It's about reliability. We sort of lay down who we are with this truth, this person, this moment. We entrust ourselves. And it's a very beautiful thing, and it seems to me this is the rapport between listening and trust. If we're really going to trust well and wisely, we're going to listen to the one, the moment, the structure, the job, the relationship, the implications of all sorts of things. In other words, that old phrase, we're going to take a little time as we are right now. Might say, let me think about that. Which I think really means, let me mull that over. Take that in, chew on it for a while, as we would say here. An ancient meditatio practice that also is often practiced with Lectio Divina, the reading of God's holy word, opening the text that weaves our lives. We sort of climb into the blanket, the textile of that, and we listen deeply to the word and finding a place in there where we can stand, where we feeling the now the dwelling of that word within us, the aliveness in it. We can trust. And it's interesting if you can feel the movement. Trust then is movement. It's not finding a place to hang out. Like a trust fund might seem to be. It's not where we put things, but it's from where we, having placed ourselves, our very selves, now can, as these crazy, wild men and maybe women with Jesus, when they heard, come after me, and I will make you fishes of people, they abandoned their nets. They followed him. They put aside their normal life. Now, it seems probably risky and dangerous. Well, you know what? It is risky and dangerous. So no wonder we need to listen deeply and take time and understand the passage of our lives from point to point, to road, job to job, to yes to no or no to yes. There's so much that asks us to listen to so deeply that as we entrust ourselves to our reflection, to the in-speaking of God's Spirit, because God's indwelling is here, we listen and then we begin to move. We don't just find a place where we can hang out again. We don't just find a secure rock on which we might be standing, but rather that rock is from which we push off like a runner and go. Not randomly, but relying on the presence of the one who is speaking to us now. Not so much in words, but in presence. This wonderful truth that one is abiding in us so that we're not just following someone else's answer to life or relying on another recipe for living, but we have, in a deep way, reviewed it, listened, found our path, finding it even in the darkness of this moment, and then risking the getting up and going. I'd invite us to take some time to that little unexpected part of it, which is the opening of our heart again. The taking time with the God who dwells and speaks to us now. Soon I'll join the students here and we'll be about a wonderful day with alumni and others. But it is from only this moment that I can go among another group and lend to them the trust I have in God's word and the goodness of our lives and the belief that in a world racked by pain and violence, we can form something new and good. It takes trust. For me, it takes others. It takes this moment with you. It takes forming a family, a community, shaping, not just finding, a place from which, in trust, we move out with our fishnets or our new tools or our new ways of being among others to bring good news to the world. So blessings, my friend. Find the moment. Listen to the movement. Listen. trust, and we will follow. Peace to you. Let us live in peace.
For God alone weighed my soul in silence. For God alone is my safety, I shall stand firm. For the Lord alone is safety, the rock of my strength. So trust at all times and pour out your hearts. For the greater an illusion, common folk breath, placed in scales they just rise, weighing nothing at all. For God alone weighed my soul in silence. For God alone is my safety, I shall stand firm.